Matthew 4. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us all that pertains to life and godliness in this incredible book called the Bible. And tonight we're going to learn a couple of important lessons that will really give us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so tonight you be the teacher as we go through the precious gospel of Matthew, chapter 4 tonight. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight. May we not only have open Bibles, but open hearts tonight, open ears, open eyes, and pray that you would speak to us through your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Got some good stuff tonight. I know I say that every time I open the Bible. But last week at the close of Matthew chapter 3, John had baptized Jesus in the Jordan River to fulfill all righteousness. Not that he had to be baptized, but he came and fulfilled the law. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the Bible tells us that the heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And as I mentioned last week, we see the Trinity right there in chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew. And so here tonight in chapter 4, we go from this high and holy experience of the blessing at the Jordan River. Jesus is now led into the wilderness for testing or proving. We too go through some of the same things. We're going to see a lot of things tonight in chapter 4 that we can relate to. We are tested, we are tempted, so that we can be proven. And that's so, so important. And so verse 1 tells us, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Wow. Now, Jesus was not tempted by the devil to win his Father's divine approval. His Father had already spoken last week at the Jordan River from heaven, confirming Christ's deity and his messiahship, that he is the Son of God in whom the Father is well pleased. Jesus was tempted here to prove to every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth that he is the sinless Son of God who came into the world to conquer sin, Satan, and death. He came as God and he came as man. And tonight we're going to focus on the man side of Jesus Christ, the human side of Jesus Christ, as we see him tempted. Also, Jesus will expose Satan and his tactics and show us how to have victory over sin and temptation within our own lives. And he will also show us how to have victory over temptation. And we're going to see how to have victory over these things in just the first 14 verses or so, 17 verses here tonight. Any takers? Anybody in this room other than me that gets tempted? Pray for me. You know, every single one of us, I guarantee you, every single one of us was tempted today, one way or another. Tempted to sin. You know, and oftentimes we need to rely on the Word of God to help us to resist temptation. I read an article in the paper yesterday that the most reckless drivers in the world are Americans. I would say amen to that one. And you know what? I used to have a real problem with the way people would drive, and I would call them all sorts of things. You jerk. You idiot. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reveals to me in my heart and in my mind, Jesus said, red letters, to call no man a fool. So guess what? That changed my driving. It changed a number of things in the way I drive. I used to try to pull up to the light to see who that jerk was that passed me 100 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone, you know? Notice I use the word jerk again. But God has spoken to me through his word and shown me how to resist temptation and to overcome sin in my own personal life. Why? Because when we're calling people names, when we're, you know, trying to catch up to them to see who it was, and then you pull up and the windows are all blacked out. But you know what that does? It rips us off. It steals our joy, doesn't it? It really does. It can ruin your morning. It can ruin your day. And so tonight we're going to learn some very, very important lessons in how to overcome temptation. And so, like I said, Jesus is both God and man. Here Jesus will face temptation as a man in the very same way that we too are tempted by sin. The Bible very clearly says that we are tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what John tells us in his gospel, 1 John. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, how much is all? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And so we're going to see some extremely important things here tonight about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And so here we are in verse 1. And we are now introduced for the first time in Matthew's gospel to the devil, who, as we will see, has many other names. And I'm going to give some of the names here tonight. It amazes me how many people in this world don't believe that there is a devil. Lucifer, the devil, the tempter, Satan. And there's many other places in Scripture that just lay out who he is. As a matter of fact, guess what on Sunday? Guess what the topic is on Sunday? Satan. I've got two messages in a row that deal with Satan. Do you think God's trying to get our attention? And how to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil in our own personal lives? He's called the devil. He's called the tempter. He's called Satan. He's called Abaddon. Apollyon, Beelzebub, he's called the accuser of the brethren, Belial, he's a deceiver, the great dragon, he's called the evil one, the father of lies, the god of this world, small g, he's called the murderer and the old serpent, he's called the prince of this world, he's called the prince of the power of the air. And here tonight, he is called the tempter because he's very, very good at tempting us in many different ways. He knows those things that cause you to lust in your flesh. Like I shared Sunday, he's got this big old tackle box and he just keeps throwing the lures out there and changing them until he hooks you with one. And every one of us in this room has things in our own flesh that tempt us. And so we're going to see here tonight how to overcome temptation. He was kicked out of heaven for pride. You know that? He was kicked out of heaven and took with him one third of the heavenly host. Let me read to you what Isaiah says about Lucifer getting kicked out of heaven. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You are weakened, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne over the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. That's the end result. That's where he's headed right now. And that's why things are going crazy. Have you ever seen such crazy satanic things going on in this world in your whole life? I've been a Christian a number of years, and it's almost as though Satan's not hiding anymore. He's right out in the open. And most people can't even tell that it is Satan. Turn on the television set. Look at some of the movie previews that they have on that are right out of the pit of hell. They've got demons. They've got all sorts of stuff. It's creepy. And just before I change the channel, I pray, God, don't let me have nightmares tonight about this garbage. Because oftentimes there's things I see on TV that I tend to dream about at times. And so he was kicked out of heaven for pride, exalting himself above God, Isaiah 14 just told us. And he took one-third of the heavenly host with him. One-third of the angels fell with him. He is not omnipresent like God is. He is omniscient. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He was just a created being, an angel in heaven. But he has one-third of the heavenly host that are his demons that are going around and that are doing all of this satanic activity in the world in which we live. He's not omnipresent. One thing that Satan hates, he hates God. And guess what? He hates you too. Yeah. His plan is to seduce men and women to their ruin. That's why one of his names is called the Destroyer. He wants to destroy you, your marriage, your family, your kids, your grandkids. He is called the Destroyer. His primary method in doing so is deception. Crazy. This Sunday, we're going to see how he deceived Eve. What did he do? He questioned God's word. Has God indeed said? Well, I got news for you. God said it. God got the first word in, and God's going to get the last word in, and everything in between. One day, he, his angels, and his followers will be cast into the lake of fire and will be tormented night and day forever and ever and ever, Revelation 20:10 tells us. And guess what? He's going to take his followers with him. Those that have succumbed to Satan in his temptation and his tactics. Those who are worshipers of Satan rather than worshipers of the Lord. And so here he is in verse 1, preparing to tempt Jesus. How stupid is that? The one who knew no sin, he's trying to tempt him to sin. Let's look at the first four verses here tonight. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, and look at this, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Wow. Do you live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? We should never just make this another religious service, another Bible study. Whenever I open my Bible, I expect God to change something in my life or to remind me of something that needs to change. And so here in the first four verses, it's important to note that Jesus faces the enemy. He is facing Satan as a man, God in the flesh. He was both God and man. And so Satan is tempting Jesus here to use his divine power to overcome temptation, to overcome the enemy. And Jesus teaches us as humans some incredible lessons here. And I hope that every one of us would hold on to these two points that we're going to find here tonight in this incredible section of Scripture that should encourage us to have victory over temptation. He will use the same spiritual resources that are available to you and I every day to overcome temptation. And as I went through this week, studying and preparing the message, I'm thinking, how did I ever forget this? Because so often we go through scripture, go through Bible studies, we see things that really encourage us, and we forget. That's why it is so important to read the Word of God every day. That's why it's so important, if you're going to be here Sunday, read ahead. Read Genesis. Find out, you know, what the message is all about. If you're going to be here next Wednesday, same thing, read ahead. Memorize God's Word. Hide it in your heart. Because the same resources, the same spiritual resources that Jesus used here are available to you and I to overcome temptation. Anybody interested? Yeah, maybe a couple of you? Okay. Number one, we see in verse 1 the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed for the day of redemption, and you are endued with power from on high. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the best tools that we can ever use in overcoming temptation in this world. The second thing, as we see in verse 4, we also have the power of the Word of God. These are the two things that Jesus will use to overcome temptation, right here to the devil's face. When we too are tempted, we can also rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God to help us to resist temptation. And yes, we can also include prayer. That's a good way. Why? What does Jesus tell us in the Sermon on the Mount? When he gives us what is typically known as the Lord's Prayer, part of the Lord's Prayer is, "Lead me not into temptation." Do you pray that? I pray it a lot. Oftentimes I pray before I get out of bed, "Lead me not into temptation, Lord." Why? Because the tempter is out there. And sometimes you don't even have to get out of bed to be tempted. In your mind, your thoughts, craziness. And yes, we include prayer when we're tempted. Jesus, in his holiness and humanness here, we see in the first section, was fasting. Fasting is a powerful way to overcome temptation. If you are able to. I know some people are on medication and all, and you can't take it on an empty stomach. But you know what? You really want to have powerful prayers? I kid you not. You want to have power in prayer? Fast for a couple days. First day's hard. It is amazing. Whenever I fast, you would be shocked at how many dinner invitations I get. And I go, boy, I'm on the right track. Second day, a little bit harder. Third day, it's like, man, you're free from temptation of food. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day, it is amazing how long you can go fasting. And you know what fasting does? It enhances your spiritual life. It's powerful. Your prayers are incredible. Your love for God's Word, the spiritual food just fills your soul. And so if you haven't fasted in a while and you're struggling with temptation, fast and see what happens. Not just one day, not just one meal, but 2, 3, 4 days, whatever God leads you to do. Fasting, we see with Jesus here. He went 40 days. Wow. In his humanness, he's fasting. In his humanness, he's now hungry. And guess what? The tempter, the devil, is trying to get Jesus to use his divine power on himself. And that's a no-no. And he challenges Jesus. Isn't this like crazy? If you are the Son of God. He knew exactly who he was. He knew that he's the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And so what we see here is one of the three sins we talked about. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Here we see the lust of the flesh, the first temptation. You struggle with the lust of your flesh? And I'm not talking just food. If you struggle with the lust of your flesh, you're going to see how to have victory here tonight. You won't have to make any more excuses. You won't be using Flip Wilson 1-1. The devil made me do it. God doesn't buy that one. The devil can't make you do anything. He can tempt you, but it's up to you whether you succumb to that temptation or not. But what a wonderful lesson this is for us, all of us, when we're tempted in our flesh. I'm not going to lay out a list to you. You know in your own heart those areas in your life where you're tempted in your flesh. Three words right off the bat. These are three words that you and I can use. What does Jesus say? It is written. Wow. Yeah. We too, when our flesh is being tempted, need these three words to help us overcome the lust of the flesh. It is written. And what that does is brings to mind whatever that temptation is that you're struggling with. Okay, Lord, give me a scripture verse for that temptation. And I guarantee you, God will give you one. Whatever it may be. If it's anger, that's why I read Proverbs a lot. My Bible tells me that anger rests in the bosom of fools. Whoa. Be angry, yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. See, I got scripture verses for the things that I struggle with. And there's a number of things that we're all tempted with that we need scripture verses for. That's why we read the Word. That's why we come to church and get fed the Word of God whenever the doors are open. Those three words are powerful. It is written. And guess what? It's followed by what is written. It's followed by scripture. What God's Word actually says about what we are facing. And so here, Jesus is right off the bat, it is written. And it covers, scripture verses can cover anything you're struggling with. Pride, a lot of scripture verses about pride. Selfishness, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. Lying, cheating, across the board. God will give you scripture verses for anything that you're struggling with, and all he wants you to do when you face temptation is those three words. It is written, and then quote the verse. This is why we must spend time in God's Word. It's so, so important. Why? Because God's Word, it is written for you and for me to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there's too many Christians that are getting taken out, that are wounded, because they are not standing fast on the Word of God. So guess what Jesus does here? He quotes Deuteronomy 8:3 to refute the temptation. Amazing. Look what he says. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How many times have you heard me say that this book is God-breathed? Every word in this book comes from the mouth of God. You want to hear God speaking to you? Read it out loud. God wants to speak to you. But we have too many other things that are taking his place, don't we? Man, it's a lot easier to turn on the ball game than to turn in my Bible to read something. You know, one of the things, and I'm going to be real straight up with you, I am thanking God for this hot weather. You know why? Because it's keeping me in my house, and I'm reading God's Word more than I have recently. I'm turning off the television set because, you remember when TV first came out, some of us do, you had three or four channels, there was always something good to watch. Now we have hundreds of channels that stink. I'm scrolling down last night. They actually have a station called Lucifer. Hello? And I block out all of the mature stuff and X stuff and all. And it doesn't leave me a whole lot of things to choose from. And so, you know what? I would encourage you, if you're struggling with the heat, hey, go get your Bible. Sit under a fan. Sit under the vent of your air conditioner, whatever it might be. Read the Word of God. I was just blown away this week. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm thanking God for this heat because it's causing me to read the Word more. And so here we see Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8:3 to refute this temptation. It is written. What does God say again? This is what the Word of the Lord says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Wow. But you know what? Satan doesn't give up. You have victory over one temptation, he'll turn right around and throw another one at you. Reach into that old tackle box, change lures, and throw you another one out there. Look what happens. Verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, look at this guy, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What does Jesus do? Again, look at this, second time. It is written. Jesus said to him, it is written again. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Remember the three things I mentioned? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They're not in order, but here's the second one, pride of life. Jump off this pinnacle. See if the angels catch you. Bungee jump here. So temptation number two to Jesus in his man questions his deity, if you're the Son of God. And this time the deceiver, Satan, actually uses the word of God against him. Isn't this amazing? You see what Satan does now? He quotes the scriptures. But like many of Satan's emissaries, he doesn't quote the whole thing. He leaves something out. And so here, the deceiver, Satan, actually uses the word of God, implying, so you want to quote scripture? Let me quote you a couple of verses, Jesus, if you're the Son of God. Let's see if you obey these, he's saying. And of course, the deceiver, father of the lie, Satan, misquotes the scripture. That's why it is so dangerous for anyone that is in God's pulpit. This is God's pulpit. You don't deviate from God's word. You teach it just as it is, yea and amen. Every cross T, every dotted I is given by the inspiration of God. You don't change it. You don't water it down. You don't spice it up. You just preach the word. And here we see the deceiver takes one of these scripture verses, Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And guess what he does? He uses it out of context. He challenges Jesus, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, jump. Let's see if the Father cares for you enough to catch you. What does he do? Like I said, he quotes Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And Satan cleverly leaves part of the verse out. Let me read Psalm 91:11. He shall give his angels charge over you, which Satan quotes, but he leaves this out, to keep you in all your ways. When the child of God is in the will of God, the Father watches over those who are in his ways. He left that part out. Interesting. Tempting God is not being in the will of God. That's why we need to keep ourselves in the ways of God's word by knowing what God's word says and staying in the word and staying in God's ways. And again, Jesus, what does he respond with? It is written. I love it. I hope you guys grasp this tonight. When you're tempted, the next time you're tempted, it is written. Now that's easy enough for all of us to remember, right? Three words, it is written. And then allow the Holy Spirit to give you a Bible verse to give you victory over whatever that temptation is. And he will. It is written, he says. Wow. And again, Jesus quotes the word of God. This time, Deuteronomy 6:16. What does he say? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And by the way, I don't know if many of you are aware of this, but there are a lot of big name pastors in pulpits today that are throwing out the Old Testament, saying you don't need it anymore. That's old school. We've gone through, what, two chapters of Genesis on Sunday? Would you say that we need those two chapters in America today and in our schools and in our households? Creation, gender, all of these things that God gives us in the Old Testament, we need to hold on to these things. And what does Jesus quote here? He quotes the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6:16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. And a lot of the verses I quote when I am tempted come right out of the Old Testament. Old and new, we need them both to give us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. So what's the first thing we say? It is written. Now, if you're out in Walmart or something and you're tempted by something, don't scream it out, it is written, you know. In your heart. Sometimes you have to just say it in your heart. And then quote the verse in your heart. Hold on to it. Meditate on God's word. Chew on it. Hold on to it. Here we say, here he says, Deuteronomy 6:16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And if Jesus would have jumped off the pinnacle and expected the angels to catch him as a man, he would have been tempting God. We have to be very, very careful in our lives, don't we, to obey the word of God. And again, you tell me, do we need the Old Testament? I love the Old Testament and the New Testament. Every book, every epistle, I love the Bible. And again, look at the resistance of Satan. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't quit. He continues with the pressure. And we've seen temptation now in the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. So guess what the next one's going to be? You guessed it. He's now going to tempt Jesus with the lust of the eyes. Look at verses 8 to 11. Again, the devil took him up on the exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, guess what he said? Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Temptation number three, lust of the eyes, took him up, showed him all the kingdoms, all of just these beautiful things of the world. He shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And you know what? There are a lot of people that are turned on, if you would, by these things. Lust of the eyes. Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. But you know what? In all reality, Christ's kingdom is not of this world. In all reality, neither is your home. In all reality, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And there's absolutely nothing in this world that can compare with what we have waiting for us one day in heaven. It's going to be so incredible, the Lord hides it from us. The Apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and God told him not to tell anybody what he saw. And God gave him a thorn in the flesh so Paul wouldn't come back and hold seminars and write books and get rich off what he saw in heaven. We are going to be totally blown away one day when we see our eternal home in heaven. And you know what? The things of this world can't compare. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I said, you could give me all of the gold in this world or this book, and I will take this book. Because that gold is temporal. You can't take it with you. You know, I could say, oh, I'll take the gold, and all of a sudden I could drop dead. And that gold's going to be left to some fool. Fool's gold. This is my most important earthly possession. You say, wait a minute, isn't Tina? Yes, but her most important earthly possession is this as well. That's why, like I shared Sunday, we have that third strand cord, Jesus Christ, that held us together next Wednesday, 48 years. That's a miracle. That's a miracle of God. You've heard our testimony. Why? It's because of this incredible book called the Bible. My most awesome earthly treasure right here. And so again, it is written. We need to hold on to God's word, because God's word will help us get through the temptations of this world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And Christ's kingdom's not of this world. The things of this world are temporal, but heaven is eternal. You remember the term to die for? Anybody ever heard that before? To die for. They see a new car. Oh, to die for. Remember as a kid, that bike that you had to have to die for. Where's that bike today? You probably find it on Antique Roadshow. Seriously, look at all the things we just had to have that are gone. And people pay outrageous prices to get these things back, as if they can relive their childhood or whatever. No, the things of this world are temporal. Enjoy what you have, but keep a loose grip on it. Because you know what? Tomorrow it can be gone. And so Satan is referred to as the god of this world, small g. And what does he do? He offers Jesus all of the kingdoms of this world and their glory. The world lies under the sway of the wicked one, under the sway of Satan. And you can look what is behind a lot of these things that people are tempted with. Temptation is so strong anymore. Sadly, to this day, many are bowing down to Satan for the things of this world and for the glory of this world. Many people are selling their souls to the devil. Someone in Hollywood, just a couple of weeks ago, I heard them on TV say that they sold their soul to Satan to make it into Hollywood. That's insane. That's crazy. But unfortunately, a lot of these people in Hollywood and in the world have a price tag on them. They can be bought. You and I, we've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. We're no longer citizens of this world. We are now citizens of heaven. And again, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't even entered into the mind of man, those things that God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even imagine what awaits us. So, all of these things, Jesus, bow down and worship me, and it's all yours. Jesus' response again, it is written. And again, Jesus quotes God's word. And look what it says in verse 10. Away with you, Satan. Hallelujah. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. That is so important, isn't it? We're to worship him, not things, not temporal things. Those are also known as idols. These temporal things that people worship, idols. I used to be a major baseball fan. But you know what? Baseball and football and basketball is nothing but idolatry anymore. You tell me one person that is worth $500 million to play in a sport. That is off the charts. And that's what one player is looking for right now. $500 million. I was telling somebody the other day, I've been a sports fan for a long time, and anytime someone signs one of these mega contracts, they never play good again. It's amazing how that works. How sad it is that there are many people out there that can be bought. Jesus says, it is written. I love where he says, away with you, Satan. And yes, the devil left, but he's not finished. I often say, when the devil is quiet or not around, he's just reloading. And he's pretty good at it. He's not finished with his evil work of temptation, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Why? Because he's still working today. And his demons are still working today. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride. You don't have to go very far to have any of these things tempt you. We might even get tempted tonight before, you know, we even leave. A thought or whatever it might be. lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And yes, God did take care of his son. Look what he does here in verse, where are we here? 11. Okay. I got this so marked up, I can't even find my way around it. It's good to mark your Bible up, but make sure it leaves a mark on you. Then the devil left him. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. It doesn't say how they ministered to him, but I have to believe that maybe God sent some food to Jesus to minister to him after he passed the test. I know what he wouldn't send him. Deviled eggs. Devil's food cake. It was probably angel's food cake. Angel food cake. Yeah. Just joking. But I would have to believe that they ministered to him, not only spiritually, but physically. I got to believe they brought food to him. What a rich section of scripture this is for us all tonight. Do you get it? It is written. It is written. It is written. We find through this whole section. We're all going to be tempted. As long as you are breathing on this planet, you are going to be tempted. I remember being at a men's conference years ago. It was an old-time preacher that spoke at our men's retreat. And he was close to 100. And one of the questions that come out of the audience with the guys is, I'm not going to tell you his name. Pastor so-and-so, how old were you when you finally had victory over temptation? He was almost 100. And he says, I don't know. I haven't reached that age yet. Meaning that as long as we are in these fleshly bodies, we are going to be tempted by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We're going to be tempted continually while we are on this earth. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. But we now have an incredible reminder on how to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. 2 points. And again, I'm repeating this over and over and over so that it will resonate within our soul. So that we can be victorious. So that we don't fall prey to sin. It is written. Got that? It is written. And the second thing? The Word of God. And guess what? It is written, and Jesus gave him the Word of God, and guess what? Satan split. You want to have victory over the devil? It is written, quote, the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. I have a hard time with some of these people that are jumping up and down and binding and loosing and all this stuff. I bind you, Satan, and give me a break. If you keep binding them, who keeps letting them loose? Read the book of Jude, small epistle. Michael the archangel was battling with the devil. What did he say? The Lord rebuke you, Satan. You can't rebuke the devil. The Lord can. It is written. Use the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And quit the jumping up and down and running up and down the aisles and binding and loosing. And you don't need to do a little dance. Just quote God's word. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is written. Quote scripture. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and Satan will flee. We've got time for the last section. Our next section, verses 12 to 17. Jesus now prepares for his Galilean ministry. As he now moves 20 miles north to the city of Capernaum, which will become his headquarters while he is around the Sea of Galilee. This, as we will see, is fulfillment of what Isaiah said in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. So look at what it says in verse 12 to 17. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. Why was John in prison? For standing on the word of God. Yeah. He was locked up. So was Paul, and so were many of the other apostles who stood on the word of God. As we see here in verse 17, Jesus' message is the same message as John the Baptist had preached. Look at verse 12 to 17 again. And when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is the sea in the by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned." Why? Look at this. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Does that sound familiar? That's the same exact thing that John the Baptist preached last week in our text. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus preached it. John preached it. Joe Coleman preaches it. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, whenever I get a chance, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You're never going to hear me say, "Feel good about yourself." No, repent. You want to really feel good about yourself? Repent. I have never felt so great since the day that I repented and God forgave me for all of my sins. And I became a new creature in Christ, and all the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so he preaches the same message. He didn't even need sermon notes, neither did John. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Same message that should be preached today. Are pastors preaching repentance today? Or is it feeling good about yourself and building up your self-esteem? The best thing you can do to self is what Scripture says. Deny yourself daily, pick up your cross, and follow me. What it's talking about is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Put it all to death. Put it all on your feet, and you will have a victorious life, and you'll have joy and peace and love and all these wonderful things that will flow through you through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Repent means to change directions. It's a military term that means to do an about-face. Turn from where you're headed to hell and turn around to the Savior of your soul. Change directions. Turn from sin to the one who died on that cross for your sin, Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling. Have you answered? Have you repented? In our section, Jesus calls four fishermen in this next section. And look at their response. Amazing. Verse 18. "And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." Isn't that incredible? They had their own fishing business. They're out casting out the nets, bringing in fish, making a living. Jesus walks by on the shore, says, "Follow me." They didn't even bat an eye. They left their nets and followed him. When Jesus calls, the best thing we can do is answer instead of making excuses. Mañana. Mañana. No, when Jesus calls, the time to answer is right now. Leave it all, forsake it all, and follow him. And what are you leaving? What are you forsaking? Nothing. In comparison to what the benefits are. And here we see that he said, "Follow me," and immediately, how fast is immediately? They left their nets and followed him. He wasn't done. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. These guys, by the way, were known as the Sons of Thunder. Did you know that? Sounds like WWF. The Sons of Thunder. They were bad dudes. Well, look what happens here. He saw the two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. Look what happens. He called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Wow. Jesus doesn't usually call us that way. But what he does when he calls us here today is we are to leave those things that are dragging us down. Leave those things that have us in bondage. Leave those things that are destroying our lives and follow him. Here we see that immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. God's not necessarily calling you to leave your livelihood, your job, whatever it might be. But you know what? When he calls, you need to answer. You need to do an about face. You need to turn from the world, the flesh, the devil, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and turn to Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's nothing, absolutely nothing more incredible. Change directions. Turn from sin to Jesus Christ. Last section. I love this. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. What a novel idea to go into a synagogue or to go into a church and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Again, how sad it is in America today that there are very few churches that still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love these precious folks upstairs. In that synagogue, they don't preach the word of God. Sad. Pray for them. We pray for them in our office every day. It is amazing. Just, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to lay out the laundry. But pray for them. The teaching of Jesus Christ needs to return to the church. The preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ needs to return to the synagogues. That's where the church was birthed. Jesus would go into the synagogue and preach the word of God, and lives would change. And I could tell you story after story after story of lives that have changed just from the word of God, not from Pastor Joe, just from being the mailman and delivering the word of God, and people's lives radically changing. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And again, after his testing from Satan, he now goes out and testifies of who he is. Yes, he is the Son of God. Yes, it is written. And he goes out now and he preaches in the synagogues. Wherever he goes, he preaches and teaches the word of God. Not only that, he heals those people with various diseases, torments, all of these things that are listed here. Last verse. Great multitudes followed him. Why? Because he was teaching the word. Why? Because he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And multitudes followed him. And I must add here in verse 25, we don't preach the word of God to bring multitudes in. We preach the word of God so that you will follow him. Don't follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ Jesus. Don't follow man. Follow Jesus Christ. And look what happened here. Multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And again, we see the importance of your word. It is written, it is written, it is written. And help us, Lord, to love your word and to hide it in our hearts and to use it as a sword to do battle with the enemy when we're tempted. And I pray for each and every one of us tonight, as well as those who are on YouTube, Lord, that you would show us how to have victory over the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, by saying it is written and quoting scripture so that we would be reminded how we are to behave. We're to walk in obedience to your word, and you'll give us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Would you do that, please? And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that when we are tempted, that these things would come to mind through the Holy Spirit. And you would give us the power through the person of the Holy Spirit to be victorious and not to be victims. Again, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us two incredible points to apply to our lives to give us victory in the world in which we live. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.